Is your child's bedroom a perpetual whirlwind of toys, clothes, clutter, leaving you feeling overwhelmed and clueless about where to begin? If you're nodding in agreement, you're not alone. Many moms find themselves standing in the threshold of a chaotic and disorganized kid bedroom, wondering how they can transform it into a tidy, manageable space. And the good news is that there are some golden windows or magical opportunities of time where you can declutter and get your kid's room and home organized. And in today's episode, I have a guest that's going to help you with just that. Hey there, my name is Toni Ann. I am the podcast host of the Real Happy Mom Podcast, the podcast for busy working moms who need help with time management and achieving their big goals without pulling their hair out. And fun fact about me, my favorite actress is Gabrielle Union. She is one of my absolute favorites, and I have watched the movie Delivers from Eva only 100 times. Now, in this episode, I am talking to Lisa Woodruff from Organized 365 all about getting your home organized, especially if you don't even know where to start. So if you're ready to say goodbye to the chaos and hello to an organized home, this episode is for you. So let's go ahead and jump on into episode 216 with Lisa Woodruff. All right. Welcome to the podcast, Lisa. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Toni Ann, thank you so much for having me.
I know there's probably people who have never heard of Lisa Woodruff. So I just wanted you to share a little bit about you, what you do, and who you serve.
Yes. Well, I'm old. I just start with that. Now that I'm 51, I'm like, oh yeah, once you're over 50, you're old. But I plan to live to 100, so really I'm only like half my age.
Oh, yeah.
So my name's Lisa Woodruff. I've always lived in the state of Ohio, born in the Cleveland area, raised in Akron. I live in Cincinnati now. Went to college, got an early childhood and elementary education degree. I was a teacher. We adopted our 2 kids. I've raised them. Well, in air quotes, they're 22 and 23 right now. Our 22-year-old has a 2-year-old baby and they live with us. So I'm a grandma. I was a stay-at-home mom and I was in direct sales, lots of direct sales companies, leaders in lots of direct sales companies. And the year when I turned 40, my kids were in middle school and I was at the bottom of the pit of despair. I was overweight, on antidepressants, in debt. I mean, I was just, my parents had gotten divorced. My father had passed away. Like it just was the lowest low I'd ever been in. And I realized that if I did not make any changes personally myself, that was going to be my story for the rest of my life. And the women in my family live into their 90s. And I was like, no way I'm living this way for 50 years. So I quit my teaching job because my kids needed me back at home, even though they were in middle school. And I decided that I would start my own career. I'm the daughter of 4 generations of females who have owned their own companies and men who have done the same. And so I always knew I'd have my own business. And I thought, what would that one be? Like if I was going to do it, if I was going to believe in myself and do it, what would it be? And I look back on everything I'd done in the first 40 years of my life, all the way back to my teenage years, and everything was successful because I either organized someone or I was organized. So I started a blog called Organized 365, had no idea how I would monetize that, but I knew it'd be good for SEO, and I just got started. And here we are almost 12 years later. I've been in a service, in-home service professional organization company, turned into a podcast. Now we have physical products, courses. And like I said in the introduction, when you do the same thing for 12 years, it grows, it develops, and you become an expert in that field. It's just the tenacity of not having switched fields is part of why I've been successful in helping people get their homes and small businesses organized.
Yes. And one of the things that I really wanted to kind of highlight here is the first part of your journey. I know that you had spent time helping people organize their homes, which I thought was really, really cool. And I listened to a podcast episode with you talking about just how you got started. And you're saying like, yeah, you're in people's homes and you just loved it. And I'm sure there were, I guess, some common themes or certain things that you were seeing with some of the homeowners as well as some of the women in particular, especially as we're speaking to busy working moms. So I'm just wondering, what were some of the struggles that you were seeing with people who were like, I just can't get organized. I don't even know where to start, that kind of situation?
Yes, I love this question because let's just start. If you don't know me, I am not your Pinterest organizer. Like, my house is not perfect. It's pretty good because, you know, I've been organizing it for so long. But I'm just not, I'm not a perfectionist, and I'm not going to sell you a done picture. I'm a teacher, so I like the process of doing. So when I think back to the in-home organizing that I did, that's why I have a podcast. Because what I realized was, A, it's extremely expensive to have an in-home professional organizer. But B, it doesn't actually solve the problem long-term. If you can pay to have your problem solved, that's great, but you're going to need to pay to have your problem solved again because you didn't learn the skill. And along the way, with my clients who had less dollars, but they were more consistent with hiring me, like once a month or once a quarter, over the course of a few years, they became organized people. And the first time I realized that organization was a learnable skill with my clients was when I had two of them back-to-back call me and cancel our organizing session that month. And they said that they were done being organized. And I was like, what do you mean you're done being organized? Like, you're a hot mess. You know what I mean? Like, you need me. And they said, no, we've been listening to the questions that you asked us. One was a couple. And they said, my husband and I just started asking each other those questions and we finished. And the other person said the same thing. They'd been writing down the questions that I asked and they realized that they were finished. And I was like, at first I was petrified because I was like, this is my business. And secondly, I was like, wait, if you learn the right questions to ask yourself, if you learn the way that I see your house and you understand it, then anyone can learn the skill of organizing. And as a teacher, I want to teach the skill of organizing. So instead of starting a YouTube channel, I started a podcast. One, because I'm 50 and I don't want to do my hair and makeup all the time. And that seems like a lot of time. But two, when you're listening to a podcast and I'm sharing a life experience or I'm asking you questions, you're thinking about your space. You're not thinking about what my space looks like and what I have or don't have compared to what you have or don't have. You're only thinking about the act of organizing. That was the first thing. I have another one, but did you want me to stop there?
No. This is good.
Okay. So the second thing that I noticed, and you know, most people who will hire someone to organize their home have some kind of discretionary income. And what I noticed from these women who did have discretionary income that were either in the workforce or they had been in the workforce was that their homes were almost like cages for them. And inside of their homes, they felt like they were not as successful as they were in the workplace. They had a lot of negative self-talk, both for themselves and sometimes their spouses or their in-laws would also feed into that not enoughness. And they would feel like they didn't have permission to do anything other than work if they were even still working and doing their housework until they got an A+ on their work. And we're never done because you're never going to be done. It's an impossible task. Even once you hire me, as soon as I leave, like, you're not done again. And so I was like, you know, I don't feel like men are holding women back as much as our houses are holding us back and our expectation of what we think our houses should look like and function like and be before we're allowed to do what we allow for our spouses and our children and our friends. Like, we want all of them to do, be, and have anything they want to and spend their leisure time pursuing their unique giftings. But once you become a homeowner as a woman, and especially if you have children, the standard to which you hold yourself accountable becomes so high that you can never reach it, that you never are allowed to give yourself that permission to have just fluff leisure just to have it.
Nice. Now, this is all really good. And I'm wondering, going back to the first part where you're talking about the couple was saying they learned the questions that you're asking and they were able to solve the problem. So what are some of those questions that help them to get out of that unorganized state and get into the organized state?
Yeah, I know people always ask me that. I'm like, darn, I don't know what the questions are. They are different depending on what space that you're in. But generally, it's the cycle of organizing that I teach. So there is a three-part cycle to organizing: decluttering, organizing, and increasing productivity. And most of the tools and podcasts and YouTubes and everything that you see either focus on the decluttering, getting rid of what you don't need, or the increasing productivity, which is making things digital, making them repetitive, outsourcing them, whatever. Very few focus on this internal part, which is organizing. And organizing always happens in analog. Organizing always happens in analog. Now, that makes sense when you're cleaning out a refrigerator. Obviously, all the items are 3D. You can't possibly organize those digitally. But I say that because the questions that you ask apply to your email inbox, and they apply to your calendar, and they apply to how you spend your time and how you organize your work week. And those are all things that are not 3D. But when you put them on index cards, they become tangible and you can reorganize them in the tactile world, and then you can increase productivity. So I like to say that the first questions are in decluttering. You've probably heard all of these before. Do you want it? Do you need it? Do you love it? You know, all of those questions. We get very good at that. When you get into organizing, the questions are, do you have enough of what you need? And so what I noticed in the organizing, especially for me, that year I turned 40, I organized my house for myself as I was organizing houses for other people. And as I was learning how to do for others what I knew how to do for myself. But it took me a full year to get my house all the way organized because it had become so disorganized. I mean, I looked in closets and I was like, I don't even recognize any of this stuff. And how did it get here? And I definitely am the one that bought it and put it there. Like, but I had 7 years of trauma, and I just didn't even remember living through those years, let alone all the things that I had purchased. But when I started organizing my house, and I don't think enough people talk about this, is usually when you have had it and you are going to get organized, it's not because you just won the lottery and you want to go to the Container Store. It is because you are where I was when I was 40, and your life has fallen apart to the point where you're like, well, everything's a mess, so how much worse could it get if I actually organized my closet, you know? And I didn't have any money. I had no money. I had negative money. I gave up my job, and we needed the money. We were already in debt, but I need my time more. Like, everything was lack. And when I went to organize my closet, nothing fit because of the size of my body. And the clothes that were nice had been bought for me 10 years ago. Like, so to get rid of everything that didn't fit was... I was down to 3 outfits, and those looked pitiful. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when you're ready to get organized, the decluttering part is not necessarily a help because it shows how much you actually don't have. And the second part of organizing is sometimes you need more. So in the case of the closet, I needed more. But also my kids were middle school going into high school, and so they were in our kitchen. And so I needed more than one ice cream scoop. I needed more than 2 spatulas because I would cook and then they would cook, but we only ran the dishwasher every other day. So we'd run out of things, but the dishwasher wouldn't be full enough to run. So there were some things I needed to duplicate or triplicate inside of the kitchen because we were all becoming adults living in this house together. It wasn't me taking care of little kids anymore. And so that organizing part often happens when you are transitioning from one stage of life to another, or in some big life transition, like having a baby or moving or getting a promotion, or your youngest child enters high school or college or something like that. And you realize that a lot of what you have served the last phase of life you were in. And so, yes, it needs to be decluttered, but also you need to add in things for this new phase of life that you're going into. And just to not leave you hanging, what I did with my closet was I did declutter some of the things that were still nice that didn't fit me anymore, and I sold them at a resale shop. And then I used the money that I earned at the resale shop in the resale shop to buy myself new clothes. And I actually ended up getting a very nice new-to-me wardrobe and found that I liked White House Black Market and some other key retailers that I would have never gone into those stores through that resale shop. And by the end of the second year, I had a really nice secondhand wardrobe that was new to me, and I looked great all the time, but I did it all through retail arbitrage.
Nice. Now, I really like all of what you're sharing. In particular, I like the part where you're talking about decluttering and organization, because that's one thing that I haven't had guests really talk a lot about. So I know the decluttering part, like you said, you know, do you want it? Do you need it? Do you love it? All that kind of those good questions. But just to unpack a little bit more about transitioning when it comes to that being an indicator that it's time to start organizing. I know with certain seasons too, as well, that can bring up the need to organize things as well. So I was wondering if you've ever found that different seasons have been one of those indicators too, as well, like it's time to reorganize things for you.
Yes. So I call these golden windows, and we have three natural ones every single year. So the end of the calendar year into the new year is a golden window. Everyone wants to get organized then. And then the other two vary a little bit depending on where you live in the United States or in the world. But here in Ohio, it would definitely be Memorial Day and Labor Day, because that's when the pool opens and that's when the pool closes. But if you're in like the South, it may more be, you know, earlier in May or the beginning of October. It's kind of when the seasons change and you're going to change over your wardrobe. Whenever you notice that there's a change in the air temperature, you also change the foods you eat, the clothes you wear, a lot of those things. And so that is a natural jumping off point of like, oh, I'm going to clean out my closet, or I'm going to reorganize my closet. And then you can take that energy and you can move it into the kitchen and you can move it into the living spaces. And the more you grab onto that energy, the longer it can last. So the longest lasting energy is actually the August into September energy. And the shortest energy is the start of the summer energy.
I like all of this. This is really good. I like these golden windows. Now, when this episode actually airs, it will be kind of going into one of these golden windows as far as some of the change in seasons and the air temperature changes. So I'm just wondering, for the mom that is just like, I don't even know where to start, where would you have that mom start first when it comes to organizing?
Yeah, and this is going to be like the November, December timeframe?
Yes.
Okay. So thinking specifically of moms of kids, school age kids. So we're thinking, you know, like 13 and under. Is that fair?
That sounds good.
Okay. So the energy that you're going into is, I have just spent every single nickel I have on stuff that you are going to open sometime later in December. And yet I can't even walk through this house because there are so many toys everywhere. And so you have the energy of like, we have to declutter everything because you know what is coming. But the kids don't know what is coming, so they're holding on to everything for dear life. So what I would say to you on that is, decluttering day is December 26th. Now, if you can have a decluttering day like the 15th or the 22nd, whatever the first day of winter break is for your kids when they're getting out of school, they will usually give up a certain portion of their toys. It's a great time to clean their room. Hey, you know, the holidays are coming, so we need to clean our rooms. Kids will usually get rid of maybe 20-25% of what they should get rid of at that point. That is a good first step. Plus, it keeps them busy. Then on December 26th, or whatever day after whatever holiday you have, that week, that last week of the year, after the holidays and before they start school again, that's when you say, okay, we're going to do a second cleaning of your room. Now that you've seen the new things, what do you want to get rid of? And they will get rid of a lot more. One of the things I wanted to say earlier about decluttering and organizing is, if you are used to, and I just told you two decluttering things, if you're used to decluttering in order to feel like you're back in control of your life, you will tend to over declutter in order to feel like you're in control and actually get rid of things that you still need. So that is when you then have decluttering regret, is because you didn't actually do organizing. So step two is, if you have the financial resources, or if you can plan for it now, getting a bookshelf, getting a cube unit from like IKEA or Target or Walmart. Do not get the closet made cubes. They're 9-inch by 9-inch. Get whatever brand has 13-inch by 13-inch. It's Threshold at Target. It's Better Homes and Gardens at Walmart. It's the IKEA Kallax system. That has a big enough cube. Buy a cube system for every single child that you have in their room. And then start to use those as mini containers. So maybe they have 4 cubes for Legos and 1 cube for Polly Pockets, or I don't even know the games anymore and stuff, an art cube, a homework cube, because kids' bedrooms are mini apartments. And when you start thinking about your child's bedroom as a mini apartment, you'll realize that they have in their bedroom a representation of almost everything you have in your entire house. They have little storage areas, they have little like snack areas, they have a work area, they have a clothing area, they have a hobby area. And these cubes create like a bunch of little rooms inside of your child's bedroom. So that is a great thing. You could buy it, you know, and put it in the week before you celebrate the holidays. You could do it over Thanksgiving weekend and like organize their bedrooms then. And then if you're listening to this later and you're like, oh, great, we're going into summer, I'm going to do what Lisa said, and I'm going to declutter all of my kids' toys. Do not do that. Do not do that. You want to keep every single thing possible in May and June because your kids get bored in the summer. And even if they'll only play with it once, that's like another 20 minutes that you didn't have to entertain them or shell out dollars for something new. So you want to declutter toys heavily in September and December, but not in May. So in those golden windows, there's a different thing each time that you should be focusing on.
So I'm glad that you brought all of this up in as far as how we can look at it. And then also when we can go in and start decluttering and organizing things as far as timelines, because like I said, I don't want to have that declutter regret again. That was not fun.
Can I say something to that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I love this. So the productive home solution is how I teach adults to organize the entire home. It has every single space in the home to organize. And then the kids program focuses on those Saturday, Sunday routines and actually getting their space all the way organized. The reason why most people do not feel they are as organized at home as they want to be is the order in which you're trying to get your house done, not what you are doing. You are doing the right actions. You're just not doing them in the right order. So what I like to say, I call this Swiss cheese organizing. I have a whole hat I wear and everything. It's a big Swiss cheese hat. So as a mom, because I've done this so many times, this is how I know. So I remember when our kids were like, I think they were like 4 and 5 years old, and family was coming in from out of town, and my husband said, I'm going to help you get the house organized. I was like, great, or straightened and picked up, you know? So he started in the family room, and I said, don't start there. We start in our bedroom. And he's like, why? No one's coming in our bedroom. I said, because we're cleaning the whole house. We start in our bedroom. So he continued to pick things up in the family room. I was like, do whatever you want, but you're going to do that again. And he's like, no, I'm not. So he picked up the family room. I went up in our bedroom. I stripped the sheets. I started the laundry. I cleaned the upstairs. I did all that. I came downstairs. I did the living room, dining room, kept moving the laundry. You know how you do this. We're like 4 hours in. Of course, the family room is trashed again. I go in, I clean the kitchen, I clean everything in the kitchen, and we're standing in the family room. He goes, it's trashed. I said, of course, because I kept pushing the children down to the family room. Now, when we clean the family room, the whole house is done. Like, that's how you clean the whole house. You probably all have already figured that out. Think about that on the organization level of your entire house. Give yourself a year. You have to give yourself a year if you want to get your house all the way organized, because you've never thought about organizing your house the way I've thought about organizing your house. Because if you had, you'd be done. And so you start in your personal spaces, your closet, your bathroom, your bedroom, your spaces that nobody is going to mess up, and you're going to need to do them seasonally. So you're going to need to do them a couple of times. Next, you move on to organizing your storage room, which is your prepaid for store. And there's a specific way I have you organize it with shelves because it's a store. So you should be able to get things off of shelves and bins. Once you organize your storage room, the way I teach you to organize your storage room, you will never, I repeat, never have to organize it again. You can move houses. It will be the first thing organized in the new house. It will never need to be reorganized again once you do the storage room. Then we move on to the family spaces, which is anything on the first floor of a two-story home. Family room, living room, dining room, you know, kitchen, all of those spaces. And then we end with paper and information management. And so often we'll be like, oh, I don't have that much paper. I'll put that off. And some of these things that once you take the time and you get your storage room really functioning as a prepaid store, when you get all of the paper in your house organized and you only keep the 15% you need and you can access it at a moment's notice, you will notice that you don't have to redo your paper or your storage room again. Now, when you have a long weekend, of course you can organize the communal spaces and of course you can tackle your kids' bedrooms. But what we do is we have a long weekend. We start with the kids' bedroom. Are you kidding me? That has to be done every single week. It's like laundry and dishes. That's never going to last more than 7 days. But we put all of our effort towards that organization instead of like storage or paper organization because we've never done it. We've never been successful. It's going to take a couple months. Forget that. I'm going to focus on the kids' rooms.
Yes, yes, because that is definitely me. I'm always in my kids' rooms. And then, like you said, next week is right back to looking like I didn't even go in there. I think I've gotten all of my questions that I wanted to ask you about today. So if there was anything that came to mind that we didn't get to touch on as far as organizing, I wanted to share before we wrap things up.
Yeah, two things I usually say, especially to audiences of parents. The first one is if you have any child under the age of 5, then what I want you to do is take a nap. I would prefer you take a nap over any organizing activity because they're not going to remember any of this anyway, and you're going to be a happier, better person rested than if you did some organizing activity that they likely are going to undo. And then the second thing is, I'm not a perfectionist. And I want to say that again, because I feel like we are so hard on ourselves, especially as women, that we just have these unrealistic expectations of what we think our house should look like, what we think we should be doing. Social media doesn't help. And so Organize 365 is here to help you learn the skill of organizing so that you have more time to do what you are uniquely created to do. And that is my biggest goal and desire, is to free up women's time for them to do what they're uniquely created to do, as opposed to trying to get an A+ on a housework list that is never going to be done.
Nice. And I was not prepared for that first one about taking a nap.
Yours is 7, but I'm still going to let you have a nap.
Nice. Now, you've mentioned Organize 365 and some things that we can look into that will be great resources to get us on track with organizing. But if there's someone that's listening and wants to learn more about you, get their hands on some of the things that were mentioned, where is the best place to find you online?
So we have a website, organize365.com. The only social media I'm active on is Instagram. I love Instagram. And I'm also a fellow podcaster. So the Organize 365 podcast.
Awesome. And I will be sure to have all of those links in the show notes. Oh, Lisa, thank you. Thank you so much again for coming on and sharing all of this. This has been really, really good.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now that does it for this episode of the Real Happy Mom podcast. To find the links and show notes for this episode, go to realhappymom.com/216 to find all of the links there. And make sure to stay tuned for next week for another full episode. Take care, and with lots of love.